Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Pivotal Annual Shareholders Meeting. Pleasure to see you. My name is John Hoffman, and I'm the Executive Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Pivotal Systems. Thank you for your attendance. On behalf of the Pivotal Systems Board of Directors, it's my pleasure to address the shareholders at Pivotal's 2019 Annual General Meeting, our first as a publicly listed company on the Australian Securities Exchange. It's now 2 p.m., and I've been advised that a quorum is present for the matters to be considered at this meeting. I therefore declare the Annual General Meeting of Shareholders of Pivotal open, and welcome to each of you. I would appreciate it if all your mobile phones were turned off or placed on silent. Before I proceed with the business of the meeting, I would like to introduce my fellow directors. First, Dr. Joseph Monkowski, our President and Chief Technology Officer and an Executive Director. Second, Mr. Ryan Benton, Independent Director, Chief Financial Officer of Rivassum. Mr. Kevin Landis, Chief Investment Officer of First Hand Capital Management. Mr. David Michael, Managing Director at Anzu Partners. And finally, Mr. Peter McGregor, Independent Director here in Australia. Also present today is Umesh Sharma, our Chief Financial Officer, and Martin Coyle from the company's auditor, BDO East Coast Partnership. Martin will be able to answer any questions you may have about the conduct of the audit and the auditor's report. In relation to the procedure of the meeting, I will give a short address as the CEO, and I will then provide more detailed information on Pivotal's performance for the year and an outlook via slide presentation. Our independent non-executive director, Peter McGregor, will also provide you with a summary of our remuneration objectives and outcomes for the year. We will then go through the formal business of the meeting, during which time shareholders, proxies, and CDI holders will have the opportunity to comment and ask questions on each of the items of business. I would now like to provide you with some of the highlights of our performance for the year ended 31 December 2018, which was marked by significant growth and commercial achievements. I trust each of you have received a copy of our 2018 annual report. Copies are available at this meeting via our website. Perhaps Pivotal's greatest achievement during the year was a successful initial public offering on the Australian Securities Exchange, or ASX, on 4 July 2018, which saw the company raise US $39.6 million or Australian $53.5 million in new equity. I would like to thank all the people involved in the ASX listing, which has afforded us the opportunity to implement our growth strategy, including bolstering sales and marketing capabilities within our target markets that has assisted to accelerate the adoption of our products amongst our key customers. As a brief reminder of what we do, Pivotal is a developer of innovative semiconductor process solutions, which measures and controls the flow of various gases used at critical stages in the manufacturing of semiconductor devices. As many shareholders will appreciate, Pivotal serves a large, growing market globally with an extensive product portfolio incorporating our gas flow, or GFC, technology. We are recognized by our customers as a leader in the development of innovative GFCs with unique product attributes that affords us sustainable competitive advantage in the markets that we currently serve. Pivotal Systems' performance for 2018 year has resulted in a notable growth in revenue, which was up 32% to US $20.33 million, while gross profit was up 106% to US $6.82 million. This was fueled by increasing market share combined with a number of initiatives we have taken during the year to increase our profitability. The company ended 2018 financial year with a cash position of US $17.5 million with no debt and a backlog of confirmed orders awaiting shipment of US $14.3 million. Our strong research and development spending once again enabled the company to take advantage of new opportunities brought forward by our world-class customers. The board was pleased to announce the appointment of Mr. Peter McGregor in August, shortly after our listing on the ASX. Peter brings a wealth of experience to the board with over 30 years' experience in senior finance and management roles, including having been chief executive officer of a technology company, Think Holdings, chief financial officer of an ASX 50 transport company, Asciano, and a partner in the investment banking firm of Goldman Sachs, J.B. Ware. Peter is a welcome addition to our board. Our operating highlights were numerous for the year, with our advanced flow control technology enabling the doubling of our business with two strategic device manufacturers, or IDMs, as well as the doubling of our market share with two of the leading American process equipment companies, or OEMs. We also commenced on an ongoing engagement with a leading Japanese equipment company that not only generated new orders, but has given us a footing in the integration of our technology into the design of their next generation process equipment. The superior technology used in our flagship GFC product has also enabled us to develop and introduce a revolutionary flow ratio controller product in partnership with a leading Korean IDM. In December, we completed a joint validation project with a renowned Japanese university and a leading Japanese device manufacturing company, demonstrating the superior performance of the GFC product versus our key Japanese competitors. Pivotal remains at the forefront of innovation and continuous improvement within the GFC market, with the advance of our new high-flow GFC in only its second year having been qualified by a leading American equipment company and a leading Taiwanese and Korean device manufacturer while gaining multiple repeat orders. The company was delighted to once again be recognized for our innovation in the market, with the high-flow GFC winning Pivotal Systems' third Red Herring Award for global innovation. The robust nature of the GFC hardware platform enables the high-flow GFC the same opportunities for rapid growth as the standard GFC. Pivotal's GFC qualifications at the OEMs performed to plan for the year. However, we did not meet our IPO prospectus guidance for FY18, principally due to a slowdown in CapEx spending by strategic major IDMs during the year, which resulted in a delay of these customers taking scheduled delivery during Q4 of 18. As mentioned, Pivotal continued to win market share with both the low-flow GFC and the high-flow GFC, and is well positioned as the CapEx cycle of these two IDMs recover. Our gross margin performance was ahead of our prospectus targets as we materially reduced cost and manufacturing labor in 2018. We remain optimistic on our future as we continue to capitalize on opportunities to showcase our superior technology and value proposition. We continue to build on well-established relationships within the industry and the industry leaders with which we work in unison to solve exciting challenges that the semiconductor industry face. Our strategy has been and continues to be take market share at the leading edge, and strong growth will follow. Recent world events have seen material escalation in the trade war between the United States and China, with additional tariffs imposed by both countries. Investors will note the company utilizes manufacturing and component assembly in a factory for our products in Shenzhen, China. At this time, the impact of this has been minimal. However, continued trade tensions between the U.S. and China may have an impact on sales of leading information technology products and services. We will continue to monitor this situation carefully and report any significant changes as necessary. On behalf of the Board of Directors, I would like to thank our team, who are located around the world and have worked diligently for the success we achieved during 2018, and more importantly, for our ongoing success in the future. I would also particularly like to thank our shareholders for their outstanding support of the company. At this time, I will go through a more detailed review of 2018 with a slide presentation. First, the information contained in this presentation has been prepared in good faith by Pivotal Systems. However, no representation or warranty expressed or implied is made by Pivotal Systems, its directors, officers, employees, advisors, and agents. As to the accuracy, correctness, completeness, or adequacy of the statements, estimates, opinions, or other information obtained in this presentation, including any forecast or prospective financial information. This presentation is subject to all disclaimers listed on this page that you see, to which all attendees are deemed to agree. If we look at 2018, currently we're operating under the ASX ticker of PVS. Share price as of yesterday was $1.43, our 52 high and low $1.36 and $3.45. Current market cap is about $159.4 million, and cash was, as we ended the March quarter, $13.5 million. And the top 20 CDI shareholders are about 90.7% of our holdings. As a bit of an overview, the company is really the leading provider of innovative gas flow control systems in the world, and that is an integral part of the manufacturing of semiconductor devices. Our successful IPO in the ASX raised about $39.6 million U.S. or Aussie 53.5, and our revenue growth of 32% from $20.3 million up from $15.4 million was a result of gaining market share in 2018. Our statutory gross profit increased 106% from $3 million up to $6.1 million, with gross margin expanding to 30.2%. Our cash balance at the end of 2018 was $17.5 million with no debt. The broader mass flow control market is scheduled to grow well beyond $1 billion by 2022. And our customer base includes some of the largest device manufacturers and original equipment providers in the industry. So the customer base Pivotal is selling to are the blue chips, both in the process equipment world as well as the device manufacturing world. And the opportunity for us to continue to increase our customer penetrations and growth continue. The GFC product platform really competes along six axes of value. First, it's innovative hardware. What it allows with our device performance and capability is the elimination of surrounding hardware our competitors need to use in order to make their devices more viable in semiconductor processing. Second, our devices also offer self-calibration, so the devices are leveraging production environment information they obtain to further calibrate the unit to provide accurate flow and reporting in a very dynamic environment. Third, robust software. The platform itself has not changed from a hardware perspective in 4 years. We continue to improve our software year over year to provide more viable features as needed by both the equipment companies as well as the device manufacturer. It's also an innovative and value-driven design in which we actually have employed nanotechnology into flow control. So the valve itself is able to operate at the thousandth of a second currently, and we can control our valve opening to 1/100th of a human hair or 1 nanometer. So there's nothing in the industry with this type of technology and speed, which allows us to provide very unique solutions in an area where our customers seem this is to be very critical for their processes. The other thing that the device provides is real-time sensor control, where we're measuring pressure and temperature of gases that are flowing at the thousandth of a second. This allows us to adjust that valve orders of magnitude faster than our competitors can. And finally, we've employed machine learning in this because every time we're doing our assessments on pressure, temperature, and valve position, we adjust onboard lookup tables contained in our software so that ultimately the next time the valve's turning on, it's smarter and more efficient. So there's nothing quite like that in the industry today. The platform itself provides that value, and it allows us to leverage our IP as we move into adjacent markets. If you look at the market Pivotal competes in, first, the overall semiconductor market is about $439 billion on an annual basis. So these are the chips that are going in smartphones, your car, sadly your refrigerator and other devices around the world as the Internet of Things becomes more and more pervasive in the consumer markets. Companies like Samsung, Intel, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, Texas Instruments, and SK Hynix, these are leading device manufacturers that are selling their products around the world into your smartphones, your iPads, your car, your refrigerator, et cetera, even your washing machines. That's the broad global market Pivotal is competing in, and we're a component supplier too. Underneath that is a $90 billion a year equipment industry led by companies like Applied Materials, Lam Research, and Tokyo Electron. Pivotal serves both markets equally. We not only sell to the equipment companies, we also sell to the device manufacturers. And the reason we do that is because a lot of the innovation we try to provide our customers are about improving yield of semiconductor devices and improving the efficiency of semiconductor factories, and that's generally done with dealing with the device manufacturers themselves. At the same time, we sell directly to those three large equipment companies. Their machines are what's powering these factories. And so as we sell into plasma etch tools at Applied Materials, deposition tools at Applied Materials, Lam Research, etch tools at Tokyo Electron, those tools then go into the factories at Samsung, Hynix, and others in order to build semiconductor devices. Finally, the market that we're competing in directly, the flow control market or mass flow control market, is about $600 million per annum in the semiconductor field. It goes up to over $1 billion when you begin to look at adjacencies like LED, flat panel, and solar, and I'll discuss that as we go forward. One thing I would mention in this is that there are significant barriers to entry once you bring a product to market. First, it's expensive. Anytime a new flow controller is brought in, you're basically going to have to run a number of test wafers at either the equipment company or the device manufacturer. A typical test wafer can cost $5,000, and generally speaking, you'll need many of them in order to validate that the flow and parameters that you're affecting are within the specs of these companies. That takes time. That takes money. Once you do it at the device manufacturers, you typically have to do it again at the equipment companies, because not only do the device manufacturers want to make sure those products are working on the particular product that they're building, the equipment companies are servicing the entire industry. So what could work on a DRAM chip or a memory chip at Samsung may not work at all at TSMC in Taiwan, who are building microprocessors or logic devices. So there's a broad test spectrum that has to be done both at the IDM as well as the ODM, at the OEM. Finally, there's a lot of relationships in the industry, and I believe that since Pivotal has gone public on the SX, our ability to leverage those relationships have grown tremendously. If you've watched the disclosures the company has made over the years, while we're completely tied up with non-disclosure agreements with our large key customers, we are able to say that we've done joint development programs now with leading Japanese companies, leading U.S. companies, and leading Korean companies. And what that allows us to do is build product that's going to empower their next generation of process tools. So, and finally, there's a theory here, besides just the IP of our products, which is patents and trademarks that we have globally around the world, there's an industry rule that's called copy exactly. And what that means is that if you're Apple and you're buying chips from TSMC or another supplier, and TSMC is buying equipment from Applied Materials or Lam or Tokyo Electron, who are buying mass flow controllers from Pivotal Systems or one of my competitors, ultimately the change to a Pivotal MFC has to be approved by the end customer, which is an Apple product manager. So the amount of time that takes for these products to get approved and changed is very sticky, and it takes time, because at the end of the day, Apple can't afford for its production facilities to not be able to ship product because they don't have the components, or the components are not coming out at the high quality required. So it's a tough industry in terms of technology. It's a tough industry because of a theory called Moore's Law, which is the number of transistors each year doubles on a semiconductor device. It's a tough industry because it's hard to break in. Okay. A quick review on 2018. We were able to double our business both with the IDMs and the OEMs. All four of those are strategic companies. We also had a 92% increase in the total number of customers that we've qualified our device on, up from 13 to 25. So not only is Pivotal working on the industry leaders, we're continuing to fan out our technology to other companies. We think that's very important as we get to future market share and growth for the company. Also, following the successful qualifications of leading IDMs, our orders grew to $31.1 million, over 101% growth year over year. So the company ended 2018 with $14.3 million in backlog, which will be converted into revenue here in 2019. Our balance sheet at the end of the year, once again, was $17.5 million. Another quick note is the new high-flow product, which addresses the deposition side of semiconductor processing, was released and qualified in less than a year, which is a reduction of from 3 years for our standard product now to below a year for the high-flow, indicating our ability to continue to partner with our end customers as well as the equipment companies is bearing fruit. We also introduced a new product in 2018 called a flow ratio controller. It was not something we discussed in the prospectus. We had some NDAs around that we couldn't share. The flow ratio controller is downstream of our normal flow controllers. It's about a $100 million a year market, and we successfully placed 2 units last year in pilot production in leading Korean fabs. So the product continues to perform well. We continue to work with that, and it's an opportunity, once again, to grow our total available market. Finally, as part of our work in Japan, we partnered with the leading technical university there, and as part of that, one of the leading device manufacturers, and we did an extensive 6-month study, which basically compared our GFC product versus our Japanese competitors. And the findings of the final report were we were much superior in terms of overall performance. It's very important in Japan that you're able to use Japanese universities to prove your value proposition and meet all of your specs, especially when your two top competitors are Japanese. If we look at our customer segmentation for 2018, the total growth was 138%. Repeat customer growth was 127%. Again, 12 additional customers validated our technology, and several of the largest equipment companies globally are our customers. Retrofit orders actually expanded in 2018. Retrofit orders are the ones that are placed directly on us by the device manufacturers as opposed to the equipment companies. And we saw that continue to grow in 2018. And the mix of 64% OEM and 35% IDM was part of that story. I'll briefly go through the financial results for 2018. If we look at slide 10, as you can see, 32% in revenue as we grew to $20.3 million, up from $15.4 million. Gross profit was up 106% from $3 million to $6.1 million, and our gross margins went up from 19.3% to 30.2%. One thing that we did do in 2018, and I'll talk a bit about it later, is we successfully brought up our manufacturing plant in Korea. We had done most of our manufacturing in the United States. A lot of the units that we had built at the second half of 2018 that remain in our backlog will be shipping in the first half of 2019 for the most part. And so you'll start to see gross margins potentially as we move forward show the results of the Korean manufacturing facility. Other key metrics, revenue, again, up from 15.4 to 20.3, profit from 3.9 to 6.7. Our OPEX went from about 48% to 46% on the revenue growth. But one of the things that's important to note about Pivotal is as we've gone as a company, and I salute the board of directors and their support, is we've continued to invest in our research and development capabilities year after year as the company continues to develop new products to, again, increase the total available market of the company. So our $4 million a year approximate R&D spending has continued. And I think that's a testimony for a forward-looking organization that continues to value market share growth. EBITDA came from minus $1.1 million up to 0.1. If we look at our balance sheet, right now at the end of 2018, we had $17.5 million in cash. We are debt-free at this time. Inventories increased from 4.7 on 31 December 2018 up to 6.3, reflecting the ramp up in our production capacity, increasing backlog as we exited 2018. Receivables increased from 2.6 to 3.9 million, broadly in line with the increase in revenue over the period. Our intangible assets increased during the period as a result of ongoing product development efforts. Liabilities reduced significantly as compared to 31 December 2017 as a result of the IPO and associated reorganization of our capital structure. So you have a company with a clean balance sheet and strong and able to support our future growth, which I believe our smallest customer is $7 billion a year in revenue. So for them to value our strength and financial capability is very important for us to continue to grow our business with them. Okay, cash flow from operations was $3.7 million for the year, including one-off expenses of 0.7 associated with our IPO, and also together with the buildup of inventories with expanding production. Other cash flows of 0.5 million reflect interest paid and payments associated with warrants, which will not be recurring. Cash flow out from investing activities was $3.8 million, up slightly from the prior year, reflecting ongoing accelerated R&D expenses associated with our new product development. Cash inflow from financing activities was strong net inflow of $23.8 million, which included $24.8 inflow as a result of the IPO, repayment of a debt of about $4.9 million, and proceeds from the conversion of preferred shares and warrants of about $2.1 million. This is a slide that represents the timeline of the company and some of the significant accomplishments that we've had over the years. 2011 was the year, in which the company recognized that gas flow control was a significant issue in terms of the industry and the overall industry capabilities, and we reorganized around solving problems in the gas flow side of the business. And it was in 2011 the company introduced the first GFC product, and it was primarily focused at the etch market. 2012 represents the first year where you had significant purchases by IDMs, and those were strategic Korean IDMs, which were very important for our overall growth and also credibility for the corporation. In 2014, the company was able to begin selling to strategic equipment companies, or OEMs, and in 2015, leading Asia-based OEMs commenced validation, which is a large Japanese equipment company. Finally, if we get into 2018, it shows the high flow qualification, which was markedly quicker than what we had seen with our standard GFC. We also opened this new integration facility in Korea. Our current manufacturing capacity went to 5,000 units per month, 60,000 units per year, which is material for us because we have to be able to demonstrate that we can handle the increased market share and volumes that we have with these very large equipment and device manufacturing companies. 2018, we also received our third Red Herring Award for global innovation, and that was on the new high-flow GFC. Slide 15 is a quick look at the map of the company, and it shows a global company operating in all regions of the world where semiconductor processing is ongoing. The yellow dot indicates where our new manufacturing facility is in Korea, in the heart of Samsung, Hynix, and other very large device manufacturers. The town there is Dongtan, which is about 20 miles from Seoul. As you can see, we have centers around the world that basically service and sell our products into the different fabs and the equipment companies. 2018, we also opened our legal entity in Korea, which allows us to ship as we need to from our Korean organization. This was an important flexibility for us and risk reduction as the trade wars or trade activity occurs. It's very important for us to be able to ship from a number of different locations in order to make sure we're risk-free. Okay. Slide 16 is a very nice representation of the company and how we've grown in terms of our product development. One of the mantras that Dr. Monkowski and I have had for years is this is an industry led by innovation. This is not an industry where the status quo is sufficient. Every year, we strive to release at least two new meaningful products. If you look along the top, you'll see that the etch business, we started with a number of products there, the GFC 5-skin. The GFC 5-skin is capable of flowing 0.025 units of gas. Our best competitor can only flow 0.1, and our accuracy at 0.025 is better than their accuracy at 0.1. When you look at the technical capability of the products and the technology team, it's leaps ahead of our nearest Japanese competitor. There's a long family there of GFC products along the top axis in white for etch. That represents a significant portion of the semiconductor processing. As you look forward here in around 2016, 2018, we started to introduce the high-flow family of products, which allows us to go after the deposition side of the market. With etch and deposition, you're at a $500 million-plus total available market. We also added the flow ratio controller, which we estimate to be $100 million a year. Ultimately, as we go forward with further innovation, we will show you how we can get to a total available market greater than $1.1 billion. While Pivotal has been a company that's been growing and continuing to grow, the number of opportunities ahead of the company far surpass what we've done. We have a lot on our plate to leverage that and to take additional market share. Slide 17 is a nice indicator of how innovation drives this. At our core, we have our standard GFC with our standard GFC valve. We've leveraged that technology and software to bring the deposition GFC or high-flow deposition product to market. What you'll see in the future is we'll bring out even larger flow devices, which will allow us to compete in areas like solar panels, flat panels, and the LED market. Those are growing markets, and ultimately, that allows us to sell into this market that's over $1 billion. One item of note is not only do we continue to innovate and deliver new products, we have our eye on the future in terms of where we're going and what we're trying to accomplish. Slide 18 is probably my favorite slide because it is absolutely true. Everything we do at Pivotal is really a result of our people and our culture. We have some of the best technologists in the world. All of those technologists are working very, very hard to provide value to our end customers and to satisfy our end customers. Our focus is relentless in that area to grow more and more capability inside the team. As this company has grown, we now have 44 people. You can imagine in a model like that, we have all of our manufacturing is outsourced, our human resources is outsourced, our legal side is outsourced, and it really comes down to core R&D personnel, core selling personnel, and four or five operations personnel that are absolutely world-class in managing that supply chain that's distributed around the world. We have a very high rate of retention. Over 55% of our employees have been with the company over 5 years. Now realize we've gone from 30 to 44, 15 on 30. You can realize there's 15 people that have only been there since we started to grow. So the core group has stayed intact throughout the venture or the voyage of Pivotal Systems. And 95% of our employees are involved with our stock or participating in our 401k plan. So there's absolute stickiness in the company and the company's forward success by those employees, and I truly salute their dedication and working ethic, which is absolutely second to none. I'll give a quick summary and an outlook. Page 20, we have a very highly aligned management team, and I would also add we have a very well-aligned board of directors. As we develop our plans on an annual basis, we have objectives that are both measurable and meaningful. Those are not only agreed to by the board, but they're cascaded down throughout the entire organization so that we're aligned. We have a very strong customer retention model, and as we like to say, we've never lost a customer that we've gained. We just continue to fan out our business in the same customers. And if you look at the CapEx of this industry where they're spending $50 billion a year in semiconductor equipment, there's probably 7 or 8 companies that are driving 90% of that. So it's very important that customer retention model stays firm. Also, the opportunity for diversifying our revenue stream is continuing. We've begun to do service on some of our products, but there's a strong software model that we can continue to sell as we provide new and new versions of our software. A specific example is that the R&D team recently came out with what we call our high-speed GFC, which is capable of doing functions at the microsecond. So in 2018, we talked about doing pressure, temperature, valve position measurements every thousandth of a second. In 2019, we're now doing every position at the millionth of a second. So our ability to adjust in the manufacturing environment has continued to improve over time. We believe that we're the clear technology leader, and more importantly, so do our customers. And that's why our customers bring us the most challenging problems that they have, and our job is to solve them. So we continue to look at a large and growing addressable market, and our goal, once again, is to win at the leading edge to continue to take market share. 2019 Q1 highlights. The new Korean Manufacturing Center has already been approved by leading equipment companies. They have to audit all of our facilities to make sure that they agree to the change. This is back to that copy exactly mentality. We've had the qualification of our high-flow GFC by a leading U.S. deposition company. That's within 9 months of introduction. It took us 3 years to do that with our standard product early on. And our new product architecture called SmartStick was introduced at SemiCon Korea in late January. SmartStick is an interesting design. After this, we'll be doing live demonstrations at MOLUS, and we'll actually show SmartStick. And what it does is we took a traditional gas stick that our leading competitor, Horiba, uses and the number of components associated with it, and then we run the Pivotal Flow Controller. And what we see is that the number of components needed to make the competitor work within their spec can be reduced in a meaningful way because Pivotal doesn't need those components. So what does that mean? It means we make it much easier for our customers to buy our product. And so that's one of the things we'll actually show interested investors is that the same live demonstrations we do at SemiCon Korea, SemiCon Taiwan, SemiCon US, we'll actually do here in Australia for our investors. Also, our unaudited revenues of $1.8 million indicate that the slowdown that we had saw at the latter half of 2018 continued into the first half as we thought it would. We had $3.3 million in operating cash, and increase in product manufacturing operating costs reflected really 4 customer product development activities and higher inventories. Our order backlog was down to $11.8 million as we shipped, and we ended the quarter at $13.5 million in cash with zero debt. If I look at the 2019 outlook, OEMs are currently focused on managing their own inventory levels in light of the slowdown and therefore deferring some of the deliveries such as new tools and our GFCs. Our current expectation for the first half was in the range of $8 to $9 million in revenue, and we're not changing that. Based on our feedback from our customers, both the equipment companies as well as the device manufacturers, we think the second half of 2019 will be significantly stronger than the first half. Of course, we'll continue to work with our customers to assist them in maximizing their productivity and cost efficiency so both customers and Pivotal can emerge from the industry slowdown stronger with the best technology, especially when the memory CapEx ends, slowdown ends. Finally, we maintain that our client-led product development focus will deliver significant market share gains in the future. At this time, I'll be followed by Peter McGregor, who is our independent director, who will talk about REMCOM.
Thank you, John. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. As a foreign issuer, Pivotal is not subject to the Corporations Act requirements with regard to remuneration reports. So there's no requirement for the company to release a remuneration report or to put it to a shareholder vote. However, Pivotal is committed to the highest standards in terms of best practice around transparency and disclosure. So as a consequence, the board made the decision to include a remuneration report in the annual report, which I'll now summarise briefly, and I'd be happy to take any questions on remuneration during the Q&A session. So Pivotal's remuneration structure is built around four key principles, which are shown on the screen here. In short, the board aims to adopt a model to attract and retain the best talent in the industry globally, whilst balancing the interests of directors and management and shareholders. We also seek to strike the appropriate balance between remuneration practices for ASX-listed companies and Silicon Valley businesses, whilst at the same time, as I've mentioned, achieving best practice in terms of transparency and disclosure. In terms of remuneration outcomes for 2018 for the board and senior management, these are again summarised on the screen behind me. A few quick points to highlight. Firstly, as John's already mentioned, non-executive directors Kevin Landis and David Michael represent two of the key shareholders on the board of directors, being First Hand Capital and Anzu Partners. As shareholder representatives, they are not separately compensated by Pivotal for serving on the board, which is why they don't appear in the table or in the report. You'll note that no short-term incentive payments were made to the senior management in respect of 2018. The board made this decision notwithstanding the significant progress made and key milestones achieved by the team during the year. The reality is that Pivotal did not achieve its prospectus forecast in terms of revenue and profit, and it was this outcome that drove the decision by the board not to pay bonuses to the company's leadership. The board felt it was important to send a strong message to the management team and to shareholders around accountability for achieving market expectations and aligning the interests of management and shareholders. It is the board's hope and expectation that in future years we will be reporting short-term bonus payments to the company's management, reflecting significant growth and value creation in the business under their leadership. I should also note that a number of members of the broader team at Pivotal did receive bonus payments with respect to 2018, reflecting them meeting or exceeding targets within their individual business divisions or business units. Let me now make a couple of brief comments with regard to the focus of the Remuneration and Nominations Committee since the end of the year. We have undertaken a review of salaries for all employees at Pivotal, including having had an independent benchmarking analysis done. This has resulted in a modest adjustment to salaries for a number of members of the Pivotal team. The impact of these changes on the senior management will be disclosed in next year's annual report, but I can advise that Pivotal continues to pay salaries overall, which are below the median level for companies of a similar size and at a similar point in their life cycles within the industry. The committee is also currently undertaking a review of the company's equity incentive plan as it applies to senior management to ensure that it remains fit for purpose following Pivotal's transition to being a listed company. It is as a result of this ongoing review that there are no resolutions as part of the formal business of the meeting today with regard to new equity issuance to the executive directors. Thank you. I'll hand back to John.
Thank you, Peter. So at this time, I'd be open to questions around the chairman's address as well as the slide presentation or anything with Peter in terms of remuneration. I believe we have BDO present as well if there's any questions from in regards to the audit. Okay, thank you very much. At this time, we now move towards the more formal consideration of the matters before the meeting today. The notice of meeting dated 30 April 2019 was dispatched to members, and I will take the notice of the meeting as being has been read. Before moving on to the various resolutions to be considered today, I will now briefly outline the meeting and voting procedures for today's meeting. You will be, when you registered your attendance this morning, you were issued an attendance card. Yellow indicates a voting shareholder or proxy holder for the meeting. Red indicates a non-voting shareholder, CDI holder, and blue indicates a visitor to the meeting. If you are a CDI holder, you must have submitted your CDI voting form prior to the meeting in accordance with the directions on the form and in the notice of meeting. While CDI holders can attend and speak at this meeting, they are unable to vote in person at today's meeting. In accordance with the bylaws of the company, as chairman, I have determined that voting on each of the resolutions will be conducted by poll rather than by a show of hands. For the purpose of conducting the polls, I ask that Lee Marshall from Link Market Services conduct the polls. The yellow attendance card will be collected after the vote on the final resolution, at which time the polls will close. The yellow attendance cards will be collected after the vote, at which time the polls will close. You must lodge your voting paper for your votes to be counted, which I will ask you to do at the conclusion of the meeting. As chairman of the meeting and having been appointed as proxy for a member of entitled to vote, as detailed in the notice of meeting, I will vote where authorized all undirected proxies in favor of each resolution. The result of the polls will be declared and released to the ASX as soon as possible after the conclusion of the business of this meeting. I will now move on to the business of the meeting. The 2018 annual report contains the financial report, director's report, and the independent auditor's report. The financial statements have been approved by the directors and audited by BDO East Coast Partnership. This item is the receipt and consideration of the reports of Pivotal Systems Corporation. This is not a resolution. I will take the report as read. At this time, I would like to take any general questions or comments about the reports or any questions for the auditor on the audit and the auditor's report. Okay. At this time, we will move forward to resolutions. The first resolution of the meeting is the re-election of Dr. Joseph Monkowski as a director in the company. The directors, with Joseph Monkowski abstaining, unanimously recommend shareholders vote in favor of the resolution. The resolution is set out on the screen behind me. Are there any questions? Please raise your attendance card if you have a question. Okay. Proxies received in relation to Resolution 1 are showed on the slide behind me. If there's no further discussion, I now declare the poll open and put to the meeting for Resolution 1. Please record your vote by placing a mark in the for or withhold box against Resolution 1 on the reverse side of the yellow attendance card that you are holding. Okay. The second resolution of the meeting is the election of Peter McGregor as a director of the company. The director, with Peter McGregor abstaining, unanimously recommend shareholders vote in favor of the resolution. The resolution is set out on the screen behind me. Are there any questions? Please raise your attendance card if you have any questions. Okay. Proxies received in relation to Resolution 2 are shown on the slide behind me. Please record your vote for Resolution 2. Okay. Resolution 3. Resolution 3 relates to the approval of the issue of 100,000 unlisted options to acquire shares in the company to Peter McGregor under Pivotal's 2012 Equity Incentive Program. Further information relating to this resolution has been provided within the notice of the meeting. The directors, with Peter McGregor abstaining, unanimously recommend shareholders vote in favor of the resolution. The resolution is set on the screen behind me. Are there any questions? Please raise your attendance card if you have a question. Okay. Proxies received in relation to Resolution 3 are shown on the slide behind me. Please record your vote for Resolution 3. Okay. Resolution 4. Resolution 4 relates to the approval of the issue of equity securities in the company of up to 10% of the issued capital of the company calculated in accordance with the formula prescribed in Listing Rule 7.1A.2. This will be in addition to the company's 15% placement capacity under the listing rules. Further information relating to this resolution has been provided within the notice of the meeting. The directors unanimously recommend shareholders vote in favor of this resolution. The resolution is set out on the screen behind me. Are there any questions? Please raise your attendance card if you have any questions. Resolution 4, proxy voted. Proxies received in relation to Resolution 4 are shown on the slide behind me. Please record your vote for Resolution 4. Okay. Other business. Are there any other questions or comments about the management of the company that any shareholder would like to ask? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the voting on the resolutions of the meeting. I ask that you please hand your voting cards to Lee Marshall from Link Market Services, who will come around to collect all completed yellow attendance cards. I now declare the polls closed. Polls take some time to count to obtain the final results. As advised earlier, after the votes have been counted, the results of the polls will be released to the SX as soon as possible. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes the business as set out in the notice of the meeting, and I now declare the meeting to be closed. Thank you for attending and participating. I invite all of you to join us for an informal company presentation, including live product demonstrations that will be and refreshments that will happen at the Moelis Australia office at Level 27, Governor Phillip Tower, 1 Farrer Place here in Sydney, which will commence at about 4:30 this afternoon. Once again, thank each of you for coming. That's it.